Greetings to you once again, beloveds. My name is Pearl Coupe, and I'm so blessed once again to be on our weekly program, which is called Ambassador of Change, and it gives me great pleasure to be able to share the Word of God with you once again. This is a program where we are motivated, inspired, by God's Word, which is like a lamp unto our feet, inspired to align to our kingdom mandate so that we can be ambassadors of transformation in our communities, ambassadors of change in the nations and societies, wherever God plants us in the marketplace, we can begin to bring that kingdom change, which God expects us to bring as his children, as his sons, as his vessels, and as his instruments. So I'm so very pleased to be able to talk to you again this week. And this week, I really wanted to talk about dominion and the fact that God has given us dominion. In Genesis 1, especially from 26 to 28, which we'll read just in a minute, God gave man dominion. And I believe that in this season right now, this season, we are required to walk in and to step into that dominion like never before. We see a lot of things happening. These are end times, and we are right in the midst still of this coronavirus outbreak, which has also been described as a pandemic. We are in the midst of this COVID-19 challenges, and I believe that it is in this time that God is expecting his sons, the sons of God, to rise up to the challenge, to begin to step out right there and to begin to take authority, to begin to step out in dominion. This is a time that the body of Christ and the church must begin to give direction, must begin to present hope. It's not a time where we should be lamenting, but this is the time that we need to be salty. We need to be that light, you know, just giving direction, giving hope, presenting Christ as the hope of glory. And this is the time that is like never before. We really need to step into that authority and that dominion. So I really wanted to talk to us about dominion. Going back to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, when God gave us that dominion, he gave us that authority scripturally. And like I say, this is a time that as believers and as the body of Christ, we really need to step out and be that light to the world and begin to step out in dominion and present solutions and present strategies. So I want to remind us about that dominion. And in particular, in this session, I'm going to be talking about what are some of the challenges to dominion? What are some of those things that stop us or hinder us or prevent us from walking in that dominion and in that authority that God gave to us from the very beginning? So let's get started by reading our foundational scripture, and we're going to be focused on the book of Genesis, or Genesis, as it is, pronounced in its original form. Genesis, we're going to go first of all to Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28, and the scripture reads as follows. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. Wow, I need to break right there and just remind somebody out there that, listen, you have been created in the image of God. And maybe the world has tried to define its definition of beauty. And particularly, I want to speak to women right now, because women, you know, society has tried to define beauty for us, that there's a certain size that you have to be, that there's a certain look that you need to have. Beauty queens are defined in a certain way. If you're a black woman or an African woman, oftentimes beauty is seen and it's actually contrasted, or it's compared with light skinness. So many people who are what we call yellow bone sometimes are seen as beautiful. But we thank God that that is changing now, that beauty is not even just about the external. It's not about your color. It's not about your complexion. But beauty really must be an internal thing. The beauty starts with your spirit. Beauty, you cannot have beauty, true beauty that is, unless you are connected to God. Beauty comes from God's spirit in you. So let's just remember that you were created in his image, and your beauty comes from having been created in his image. So whatever man has said to you about your weight, about your body size, size, about the size of your forehead, about the size of your nose, whatever it is that may have been said to you to try and convince you that you're not beautiful. I want to remind you that you've been made in His image. And if you've been made in the image of God, there's nothing ugly about you. There can never be anything ugly about you because God's image is beautiful. He is perfection. And so I want to encourage you and say to you today that you've been made fearfully and wonderfully in His image. So let's go back to the scripture. And it says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So women, again, remember that you've also been created in the image of God. Not just males, but females also. Male and female, He created them. And then He says in verse 28 now, it says, God blessed them. Who did He bless? Now, remember the previous scripture we just read, that male and female, He created them. So when the scripture is now saying God blessed them, it's still talking about the same male and female. Them, He created them and He blessed them. So women, you have also been blessed. God blessed them and said to them. So this, what He said, was said to males and to females. It's not just a blessing that was pronounced over men, but it's a blessing that was pronounced over male and female. And this is what God said to them. Be fruitful and increase in number or multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So this really, when we break it down, it is a mandate to have dominion. God was giving man the mandate to have dominion, the mandate to subdue, and the mandate to have authority. And He was saying to man, take control, both to male and female, remember, take control. Have dominion, subdue, take authority, and take control of the earth's vast resources. So it was now again in Genesis 3 that we see man, you know, losing that right of authority by disobeying God, disobeying His orders. He now gets into a place where exercising authority and dominion became problematic. And the right to have authority has been restored back to man, back to us, through the coming of Jesus and through God's plan for the redemption of man. So our dominion through Jesus's coming and bringing us back into right relationship with God. So when we now have a relationship with Christ and receive Him as our Savior and give Him control over our life, that's now when we are now, you know, having authority being restored back to us, and we are able to connect back to that dominion, that authority, that mandate now to subdue, to take authority, to take control over the earth's vast resources. So Jesus is coming, brought restoration. It ensured that even keys of life and death were rightfully restored to man. But now, here's the challenge. When we step outside of our God-given boundaries, we now find ourselves again outside of our God-given authority. So the authority and the dominion that we have now comes as a result of us, you know, sticking to God's kingdom protocols, to God's kingdom principles, to the word of God that He's given to us as a lamp unto our feet to give us direction. Staying within God's word and within His protocols and principles and obeying His commandments, not out of legalistic issues or legalistic reasons, not out of legalism, but obeying His commandments because we love Him and are in relationship with Him. Obeying for that reason. When we do that, we are able to truly exercise our God-given dominion and our God-given authority. So I want to talk just very briefly about a couple of things, pitfalls, as you know, I've labeled them, or hindrances or stumbling blocks. What are some of those things that may cause us to step outside of that dominion and to take us away out of that place where we can exercise dominion and authority. And one of the things I'd like us to do is actually look at Genesis 3. If we go back to Genesis 3 and read that scripture, there's some things that Eve did. Immediately after being given authority, there's some things that she actually did. And I want us to go back now and look at some of the things that Eve did in terms of Genesis 3:6, reading that scripture. And the scripture actually says this in, we're reading the King James Version of Genesis 3:6. And this is actually what the Bible now tells us in Genesis 3:6. And we're looking at this to see some of the pitfalls that we can actually look at and say, how did Eve now miss it? How did she step outside of the authority boundaries that God had given her and given also to Adam? Genesis 3:6. Let's read the scripture together. So the scripture says as follows. It says now, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. He did eat. Well, one of the comments I also want to say right here is that, listen, the Bible talks about fruit. It says she took of the fruit thereof. And I've always found it very interesting because many times we hear people talking and preaching about Eve eating an apple. And oftentimes in Bibles, we'll see even pictures of Eve eating an apple. I don't know about you, but nowhere in the Bible have I actually seen that that it talks about Eve eating an apple. The only reference I've seen is a reference to fruit, that she took of the fruit and she ate of fruit. And she also gave her husband the same fruit. I don't see the word apple, and I'm not quite sure where anybody got that word apple. But the reason why I'm raising it just to say this. Let's be very careful about putting our own interpretation in there, because somebody may say, well, it's a little minor thing. It could have been an apple. It could have been a banana or whatever. But error comes in that way. And the enemy will like to make it look like the error is minimal or it's a minor error. And error starts like that and it can grow and become a real doctrinal issue. So I want to encourage us that let's read the Bible. Let's read it within proper context. Let's not put in our personal interpretations, because that can lead us to a place where it's very dangerous now. And we put wrong context and wrong interpretation to God's word, which also now has the effect of putting us or leading us in a wrong direction. So it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and also gave her husband to eat. So first thing I want to say, number one pitfall that can sometimes happen to us is when we make decisions based on the outside. One of the pitfalls or one of the things that now took Eve and her husband, especially Eve, outside of the ambit of their dominion is that she looked at the food. She looked at the fruit. And the Bible says that she saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. Beloved, pitfall number one, something that can take us out of our place of dominion is by judging things, not testing the spirit, not being led by the spirit of God, but looking with our natural eyes and looking to the external, looking only on the outside. So Eve looked at the outside of the fruit. To her, it looked attractive. She didn't bother to ask herself whether the fruit could be contaminated. She didn't bother to remind herself to pause and meditate and think of what did God say? What were God's commandments concerning this issue of the fruit? So I want to say to you right now, be very careful of looking at things externally, whatever it is, looking at, it could be something, it could be, you know, even a relationship that you want to get in. Oftentimes as men and women, we only look at the aspect of physical attraction, and sometimes we can get into trouble and into wrong relationships because, like Eve, we're just looking at the fruit on the outside, and the fruit looks pleasant to the eyes. Just like the fruit looked pleasant to the eyes, sometimes we can look at a person and just see that they're physically attractive, they look pleasant to the eyes, but their heart is not connected to God. Their heart is you know, they have issues, they have personality issues, they have character, serious character defects because they're not connected to God. But physically, they look attractive. They look pleasant to the eyes. So let's be careful not to look outside of God's commandments. Let's not be led only by physical attraction. Let's not be led by looking only on the outside. Let's not just judge a book by its cover. You know, there's a saying that don't judge a book by its cover. Let's not just look to the external, because, you know, external is something that guides us a lot in today's society. People are so focused on the external. The cosmetic surgery is a booming industry, generating so much money in these days. So many US dollars. People are changing the shape of their nose. They're changing their body shape. They're changing everything about them because external people judge you on your external look. So many people are spending an obscene amount of money on the way that they look because society judges and rewards people on the basis of how we look. But as sons of God, as believers, we're not supposed to look just externally. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God." So let's not be led by external. Let's not be led by things that look externally pleasing to the eye. Let's not look outside of God's commandments, but let's be led by His Word and let's be led by His Spirit. And when that happens, when we're led by the Word of God, His commandments, His principles, His protocols, when we're led by the Spirit of God, that will ensure that we stay in that place of dominion and the enemy cannot take us outside of our place of authority, of our place of dominion, of our place where we can subdue the enemy. Where we can subdue the enemy. So let's be careful of that. Let's be careful of that, you know, because that's Genesis 3:6 again, you know, and it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at. So the other version we use, it was pleasing or pleasant to look at, but it was delightful to look at. Let's not just be swayed externally. Some of you maybe want to get into not just relationships, but contracts. There may be a contract that looks delightful externally, but have you paused to pray and meditate and ask God, God, what are you saying about this contract? Because externally, it may look good on the outside. I was just reminded recently by a close friend of mine who was talking about this and just encouraging me to actually, you know, be prayerful. Some things, they were saying to me that some things may look very good on the outside, but they can actually get you into trouble. So let's be very careful before we contract, before we get into business contracts, before we get into any thing that might tie us, because we're just looking on the basis of external. Because inside, there may be some contamination. There may be a worm in that fruit that we can't see. So let's be very prayerful. Let's meditate on the Word of God, be led by His Word, and let's be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will give you peace about something, will give you peace about that contract, will give you peace about a person, will give you peace about relationships. So let's be prayerful. Let's be led by His Word, and let's make sure that we are guided by His Spirit. I'm reminded again of Lot and Abraham. You know, when there was a time actually when they had to choose land. If you go back to Genesis 13, and I think it starts from verse 10, it tells us that Lot actually chose Sodom and Gomorrah, Why? Because he was looking to the outside. He was looking to the external. And in Genesis 13:10, it specifically says, "And Lot looked and saw that everywhere was well watered. So when Lot looked at the land, it looked good. It looked pleasing. Like when Eve saw the fruit, it looked pleasing. It was delightful to look at. When he looked at the land, it was delightful to look at. But internally, you know that when you read further in the scripture, the land that Lot chose was actually the land that now became Sodom and Gomorrah. So in other words, underneath that land, there was a rot, there was a stench of depravity, corruption. There was all these things that were there that he couldn't see. And so, you know, we must be very careful around how we choose things. And like I've said, people choose their life partners only on the basis of looks. And many of us have made mistakes just by looking for a partner based on their looks. They were physically attractive to look at, but we didn't know that their hearts were contaminated, just like the fruit that Eve ate. It was a fruit that looked pleasing on the outside, but it was a fruit that she was not meant to eat. It took away her dominion. It took away her authority. It took away the mandate that God had given her. So the eating of the fruit was not for her. She was not supposed to eat it. So let's not go by looks. Let's not choose our life partners on the basis of looks alone, but let's choose them on the basis of what is God saying about this partner. Is this somebody who shares the same values as I do? Is this somebody who also is led by the Spirit of God? Is this somebody who loves God? And I can see that their lifestyle is a lifestyle that honors God, that esteems God, that they're led by the Spirit of God. So looking to the external, beloveds, is not God's way. So let's be careful of being led by looking at the external. So still on Genesis 3:6, and we're going to be wrapping up very soon in the next few minutes. The other thing I want to say in terms of things that can take away our dominion is that we eat, what we've already said is that Eve ate of something that she had no business eating of. So Adam and Eve were specifically told not to eat of the tree. They disobeyed divine orders and they disobeyed to their detriment. So what is it that we may be eating in our lives that can dislocate us from our destiny? What is it that we may be eating that can get us out of position, that can get us out of our dominion, that can get us out of our place of authority? Some things we have to watch, be careful what we eat. So I want to leave you with this encouraging word and just say to you, God, remind us again that God has put us in a place of dominion, in a place of authority, in a place of subduing. And I want to remind us that in this season, God is looking for sons of God that he can send to the nations to begin to, begin to bring change and begin to bring alignment to the nations, that those nations will begin to align to their redemptive purpose in the name of Jesus. And so right now, I just want to pray for you right now and declare that may God use you as a son of God with authority, that you will be bold and you will go out there and fulfill your kingdom mandate and fulfill your kingdom assignment, and that nothing will remove you from your dominion, your place of dominion and your place of authority. Nothing will shake you. You are unshakable and you are immovable. You are rooted in him. In him you live and move and have your being, and you are aligned to his kingdom purpose and authority in the name of Jesus. May God release you in this time and in this season with the gifts that are in you. Let them be stirred up so that God can use you as a vessel and an instrument of change in the name of Jesus. Whatever has stolen your dominion, Whatever has taken away your authority, right now we ask that God just begin to reposition and realign you. And we ask for grace and we ask for favor and we ask for mercy that you will be put back into a place of authority. And because of your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, you are now aligned to your kingdom purpose and you are back in that place of authority. Thank you, Father, for repentance, that we repent in any way that we our actions or behavior has taken us out of dominion. We repent, and to repent, you know, repent, pent means high place. So re means going back to your high place. You know, the word penthouse is a house that's high. It's in a high place. Penthouse is an apartment that is high up. And so to repent now means to go back to your original high place, your original place of high authority right there. And so, Father, we want to repent for any actions or behavior that have taken us out of that place of dominion and that place of authority. And we thank you, Lord, that we are lined up with your word. We are lined up with your commandments and we obey your commandments, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we don't judge externally. We don't just look externally. We are not deceived. We come against the spirit of deception that will deceive us by looking things that look good, that are pleasing and delightful to look at. We will not be deceived by those things. We will enter into relationships that you have ordained. We will enter into business contracts and transactions that you have set aside for us. And we will not be deceived by the external, by however good something or someone looks. We thank you, Father, and we bless you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you all the praise. And we say, Father, we thank you that we walk in dominion with you, Father, because in you we live and move and have our being. And so our dominion is established by our relationship with you, and our dominion is established by being led by you. Father, we honor you and we give you all the glory and praise. Take your rightful place in our lives in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Messiah. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much for taking this time out just to hear the word of the Lord. And I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you've been ministered to. And I pray that you have a victorious week. And I look forward to seeing you again next week when we will be back on Ambassador of Change to share an encouraging word of the Lord that will establish us in this season. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. With our co-producer, Kayla Paget, we are bringing you the word of the Lord. And it's a wonderful time. And I want to bring across to us right now what God has laid upon my heart and upon my spirit. And therefore, listen to us to this word. And I want to entitle for this talk the issue is your mind, thinking about what you are thinking, metanoia, changing the way you think your life. And I want to bring across unto you right now 7 powerful pillars that will build your life on that solid rock. 7 powerful, formidable pillars that will build your life and that will change you. And once you embrace them in your life, you'll see what God wants to do even over your life. My first verse will be Proverbs 23 and verse 7. The first part of that verse says something very important. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. For as a man thinketh. I know it continues in the second part, but the first part is my concentration. Seven pillars to identify, to change your mind. Number one, if you're going to change your mind, you're going to need to understand this. Pillar number one, my thoughts control my life, but I can control my thoughts. Listen to what Solomon says. For as a man thinks, as a woman thinks in their heart, so they are. Have you ever asked yourself that question? What are the thinking patterns or the thought patterns that you embrace over your life? What are the things you keep building over your life? You are a sum total of all the thoughts you've built over your life. Your belief systems, your behavior is actually controlled by what you believed. Right from the time when you were born, as you think, so you are. Your character is developed first in how you view yourself as a result of your thinking patterns built over your life. You built your life and you were told, you are a nobody. You are insignificant. You are weak. You will not amount to anything. That will redirect your life as a whole. How do you see yourself? Many children of God who sin right, confess the Bible right, memorize the scriptures right, they pray quite right, but the way they view themselves is under the control of their thinking. Even though Jesus has set them free, even though Jesus has washed their sins away, even though the Holy Spirit lives inside of them, but many believers, they live below the radar to which that Christ, or the level on which Christ has asked them to live. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear listeners, your thoughts control your life. And because your thoughts control your life, there is one thing that you can be in control of. You may not be in control of how life will turn. You may not be in control what life will bring across to you. The sadness, the challenges of life, how circumstances are going to change around your family, for or against you. But there is one thing that I know for sure you can change. You can change the way you think. My thoughts control my life, but I'm in charge of my thinking. That's the first pillar that I wanted to get. But second pillar, any change I want in my life must start in my mind. Any change I would like to see in my work, any change you would like to see in your family, any change you would like to see in your marriage, things will not change just because you have been nice to one another for a day. Things will not change just because you have gone for a holiday in Hawaii. Things will not change because you carry you with you. You carry your thinking patterns with you. So it's important that any change that you would love to see in your life, it starts in your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, you either conform to the patterns, to the system of this world, or you are transformed by the renewing of your mind by the word of God. You can't change your life without understanding the tools that have been provided. Any change I would like to see and imply in my life, that change is only possible when I begin to work on my mind with the tools that have been provided before me by God Almighty. A lot of believers, they live their lives below that which Christ has called them to live on. A lot of believers don't understand what Christ is doing in their lives. But I want to say to you and I right now, in our journey as we walk with God, that it is very important that you understand what Christ has done in our lives. His desire in our lives as he builds us day by day. He's building us on the authority and the structure of the Word of God. He's building us on that understanding that it is in Christ and in Christ alone where we are given the tools, the change I want to see over my life, the change I like to see in my Christian faith is only possible when I engage into working on my thinking. What are you thinking today? What are you thinking as a woman? What are you thinking as a man? Because the change you want to see, it starts first in your mind. It doesn't start by changing your behavior. It doesn't start by doing outward stuff. It starts first inwardly in your mind. Number three, I can change how I feel by changing how I think. I can change how I feel. It's interesting to know that we live in a world where we understand now that feelings vacillate. Feelings come and go. Feelings change at any given time. I can't help myself. The fact that I am feeling cold now because the outside temperature is cold. The climate conditions have changed. And therefore, they control and they rule what I'm going to put on. But I can tell you right now, they don't control what I am thinking right now. All right? Because if I want to see the changes that God will build in my life, I need to know that I can change how I feel by changing how I think. 42 verse 6, the book of Psalms. David says, when I am downcast, when I am overwhelmed, when I am in sorrow and in pain, I make a choice not to think pain, not to think sorrow, not to think sadness. I make a decision. I choose to turn to God Almighty. I remember, I think God. I think my helper is alive. I think my God is with me. It is important, ladies and gentlemen, in the days that we're living in, that we understand that your victory is determined by what you put your thoughts or your thinking, your mind to think on. What are you thinking? For as a man or a woman thinks, so they are. It's important, ladies and gentlemen. So I know that I cannot change how I feel. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's hot, it's hot. If I feel hungry, I feel hungry. I cannot say I command hunger, pain. Don't want to feel you now. I can't change that. But what I can do, I can shift by changing the way I think. On the mountain, when Jesus Christ is tempted by the devil, first temptation is to do with the changing of stones into bread. Watch the master answering there, and he answers by declaring, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. What Jesus is saying, that the word of God can fulfill the appetite that makes me to feel hungry. And if I change my thinking, I can direct my life in the direction that God wants me to go, in Jesus' mighty name. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you and I to understand that the issue in our walk with God has to do with our minds. Number four, every behavior that I am projecting today, every behavior that I am showing today, every behavior, every action, every character that is at play out of my life, whatever it is because of my belief system. So if I think the only way to control my wife is by making sure that I push her against the wall, I beat her, it is because of my belief system. Because every behavior is determined by the beliefs that I have. Every behavior that I am showing right now is based on how, on what I believe. What is it that you believe about women? Every behavior that you show towards women, it is based on what you believe. If you were raised to believe that women are mediocre, they are sub creatures, they are meant to be they are created to be controlled by men, and men are superhuman than women, you will live your life not respecting women. You will live your life looking down at women. You will live your life not respecting your partner, because the belief that shaped your life made you see and think that way. What you're thinking, watch your behavior. Change your thinking, change your behavior. You can't change a behavior first before you change your thinking. My prayer that in these days that we're living in, may you understand that the only thing that you have between your start off point and where you want to be as a child of God, as a person, as a man, as a businessman, as a businesswoman, as a worker, there's something there between your ears. You can build or you can destroy. Life can change around your life based on what you believe. What do you believe about the word of the Lord? What do you believe concerning healing? What do you believe concerning poverty? What do you believe concerning marriage? What do you believe concerning men? What do you believe concerning your friends around you? What do you believe as a child of God? Every behavior that is built in your life is based on what you have believed over a period of time. And it's important that we understand what God is doing. Number five, every time you sin, it's because you believed a lie. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, for there is a way that seems to be leading to life in the way, in the eyes of men. But those ways, or that way, leads to death. Let me challenge you today. Every time you find yourself falling into sin, that drug that you end up injecting and you believe the devil, that bottle of alcohol that you vowed that you will never touch a drink again, next time you touch that drink, next time you touch that cigarette, don't blame the devil. Don't blame the demons. Don't blame your friends. Don't blame temptation. Oh, I was tempted. It started here, in your mind. Because whenever you sin, it is because you have chosen to believe a lie. Whenever you fail, it is because you choose to believe a lie. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. That may we be believers of the report of the Lord God Almighty. Help your people. Establish your people in believing the word of God, what it is meant to do in their lives. Every time you sin, you have believed a lie from the devil. And the devil is good in painting a picture of sin for you. Many of us think when the devil tempts us, he brings and says, come, let's enjoy sin, and it's going to corrupt you. It's gonna kill you. It's gonna destroy you. That's not what he does. He's enticing. He's deceptive. Conniving. Then he binds you. He binds you to himself. And then death happens. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that in the days that we are living in right now, that we understand how we want to shape our lives. Let's keep moving. Number six. These are pillars that will shape your life as a person. there is an invisible war that is going on in my mind and for my mind. Romans 7 verse 21. Apostle Paul, talking to the Romans, talks about the two natures and how he is trapped between the good that he desires to do with his good nature versus the bad he doesn't want to do, but yet he finds himself doing that. There is an invisible war going on in your mind. But you are in control of your thoughts, Philippians 4, verse 8. What things soever are true, what things soever are just, what things soever are pure, think on these things. Oh, that Lord, you guide us to think godly thoughts, to think pure thoughts, to think true thoughts about people. What lies do you believe? Because remember, whenever you find yourself fail, it's because you've chosen to believe a lie. Children of Israel were promised a land flowing with milk and honey, but forfeited to get into the land flowing with milk and honey. Not because those giants spoke to them, not because the sons of Anakim, which they saw, spoke to them, not because the Canaanites threatened them, not because the Canaanites showed their armor. No. They saw them. They thought Egypt. They thought slave mentality. From that slave mentality, it shaped the way they behaved. We were in front of them like grasshoppers. The devil is a liar. Lord, change my thinking that I can begin to build up upon my life. Thoughts that will build my life. Thoughts that will build my ministry. Thoughts that will build my family. Thoughts that build my children. So I stand even right now and I declare, my children are changing. The glory of God is rising over my family. The presence of God is increasing in my ministry. God is building this church up. We are moving from degree of glory to the other. I see the beauty and the glory of God rising up in our time. All over Perth, God's Spirit is moving. He's moving in power. He's moving gloriously. God is at work in my life, both to do and to will. My children are blessed. Josh is blessed. Sharon is blessed. I want you to declare whatever you are right now. Declare the goodness of God for your life. Declare the goodness of God for your children. Declare the goodness of God for your family. Declare the goodness of God in whatever they do. Declare the goodness of God, because God is a good God. He is an awesome God and he reigns. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is important for you and I to understand that everything that we do in life is based on how we view ourselves. I pray, therefore, that in your life, you continue to move from glory to glory, because God is at work, even in your life, building you, capacity, strengthening you, those areas in your life. Speak the mind of God and allow God to do it. That invisible war that you are encountering in your mind and for your mind. The good news is there is a solution to it. That's number seven pillar. To win the battle in and for my mind, I must depend on God's Spirit and on God's Word. In order for you to win, there are no gimmicks about it. There are no shortcuts around it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to win this mind, if you're going to win this battle for your mind, this battle in your mind, there are two powerful tools at your disposal. God's Spirit and the word of God. The word of God is a sword. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God is like a hammer in Jeremiah. It breaks down things that are hard in your life. The word of God is like fire. It is like fire shut up in your bones to burn every chaff, to burn every demonic entities that are raised to destroy your life. The word of God is a pillar in your life to build you up, to shape you, to change your life. I declare therefore upon your life that may you walk in from strength to strength. I declare right now over your life, may you see the goodness of God established in every direction of your life. May you know that you are not alone. To win this invisible war, that I am here right now as I declare over your life. This invisible war in your children on drugs, in your daughter on prostitution. To win this invisible war on cocaine, to win this invisible war on ice, to win this invisible war that makes you and find you trying to push you to do things that you don't want to do, the good that you want to do and you can't do, and the bad you don't want to do and you do. To win this invisible war, you need the Spirit of God and you need the Word of God. May God bless you. This was Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network and with our co-producer Kayla Paget on our SKM Radio Network International, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Thank you so much for engaging with us. Seven pillars to live by, to guide you in life so that you can become all that God wants you to do. Walk in victory. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, oh God.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.